I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News. Queensland's Inspector of Detention Services has raised human rights concerns about the treatment of children in Cleveland Youth Detention Centre in Townsville. His report, which was tabled in State Parliament on Tuesday afternoon, found children were frequently locked alone in their cells and were often held in purpose-built separation rooms that had no toilets, beds or running water. Anthony Riley also found issues with staff ratios, with the centre often unable to meet the ratio of one worker per four detainees. There are nearly 100 detainees currently in Cleveland, most are reportedly Indigenous teenage boys. He has made 15 recommendations to better protect children held in isolation and ensuring all rooms have proper amenities. The Northern Territory's Chief Minister, Leah Fenocchiaro, has reiterated plans to lower the age of criminal responsibility amid criticism from legal and child welfare experts.
We have been very clear for a number of years that reducing the age of criminal responsibility to 10 was a big part of our plan, and we will deliver on that in week one of Parliament as we committed and as Territorians voted us to do.
The Country Liberal Party pushed NT Labor from government in Saturday's election. Labor has been reduced to just 4 seats in the Territory's 25-seat parliament. Oxfam Australia has joined calls for urgent action to address the cost of living crisis and growing inequality. The global charities, social services advocates and farming groups are responding to the full-year profit announcements by Coles Group and Woolworths. Oxfam says big corporations are not being taxed on excessive profits and it's unacceptable everyday Australians are struggling to put food on the table, while major supermarkets continue to report staggering profits. The charity is calling on the government to introduce a crisis profits tax. Greens leader Adam Bandt told the National Press Club that Labor and the Coalition aren't doing enough to help prices going down.
Let's take on these big corporations that seem to have Labor and Liberal in their pocket, stop prices of everything going up and get a fairer deal for people.
A housing charity says blaming the national housing shortage on international students is unhelpful. Anglicare Australia's May Aziz has spoken to National Radio News in response to the latest move by the Albanese government to limit the number of international students studying in Australia. It's part of a move to bring down the overall migration numbers. Ms. Aziz says international students do not contribute to dwindling housing stocks and the attempt to make that link does not address the housing crisis.
Student housing actually doesn't count towards our total dwelling numbers, and that's where most international students live. If they don't live in dedicated student housing, they tend to join existing households.
One man is dead and a woman is in critical condition after their car was crushed by a tree in fierce winds in Victoria. The operation was one of more than 1,000 emergency call-outs across multiple states as wild weather wreaked havoc across southern Australia. The Bureau of Meteorology has reissued severe weather warnings as damaging winds are expected to redevelop in eastern and southeastern parts of New South Wales from today till tomorrow. We'll have more coming up next.
Hey, you mob, it's Naomi Moran, proud Bundjalung woman and CEO of The Koori Mail, our 100% Aboriginal-owned and operated newspaper. Since 1991, we've been a respected source of news and information for our people. Whether it's an important community event or a focus on issues that matter, we've got you covered. So subscribe today by visiting koorimail.com. The Koori Mail is proudly the voice of Indigenous Australia.
Program sponsor.
To sport, and the First Nations Black Swans had spent little time on the court together, but it didn't stop them from winning the bronze medal at the Australian Netball Championships in Canberra. The Black Swans beat the Territory Storm 49-38 to claim a spot on the medal dais for the first appearance at the national titles. Captain and proud Wiradjuri woman Gabby Coffey says the team only had one training session together before the championships began.
We're so pumped. We knew this competition was going to be tough, considering we had our first training ever together as a full squad on Saturday before the comp started. So to even get this far and be able to grab a medal at the end is just so mad. It's been so good.
To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au. And if you missed a bulletin, you can catch up on the Community Radio Plus app.
Shainung Gimoy Festival returns from the 3rd to the 13th of October 2024. If you miss it the first time, don't miss it now. Experience the tropical foreshore of Gimoy Cairns like never before at our Art Story Walk as it comes alive with a spectacular display of light sculptures. Join us for the Calling Country ceremony on 3rd of October on the Esplanade. Shine is a family-friendly festival celebrating First Nations' unique cultural and arts practices, presenting nightly black markets, daily music performances and deep wisdom conversations at the Salthouse Festival Hub. Be sure to secure your tickets to Shine on Gimoy 2024 and our new Dream Aloud concert at Munro Martin Parklands on Saturday the 5th of October, presented in partnership with QMF. Tickets are available at moshtix.com.au. See you there.
Station sponsor.
Testing for bowel cancer is simple, private and free. Your free kit is available every 2 years from age 45 to 74. If found early, 90% of bowel cancers can be successfully treated. Doing your bowel cancer screening test every 2 years can help you stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and your community. For more information, have a yarn with your health professional or visit indigenousbowelscreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country, as BBM Bumblebrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. And you can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. You can text a brother as well, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. And I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have you say and yarn up strong. Oily is here for your deadly yarn, your mob. Too deadly.
Take my hand and lead me down this road. I am tired and I need you here with me. I have walked alone so long, now I need some company. So take my hand and lead me down that road. I have walked so many miles and I've lost so many friends.
Yeah, the deadly voice of Warren H. Williams. Big shout out, my brother, and that deadly track, This Road. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416, and call that number. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns in your dingy country. BBM Bumblebrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All right, up and coming day, we're talking about Indigenous Literacy Day 2024. And theme here, Be Proud Voice for Country. And we've got the Indigenous Literacy Day is proudly produced and presented by the Indigenous Literacy Foundation in collaboration with the Sydney Opera House, with a free film and live stream as well, a book launch and celebration on Wednesday, 4 September. Block that date out, 10:30 a.m. If you're down at Sydney, well, look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Greg Dryce, ILF, Indigenous Literacy Foundation ambassador, artist, teacher, performer, and author. Going to have a yarn about this deadly space. And we have the brother online. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Hey, yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Good, brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob. Where are you from, bro?
Yes, yeah, my name is Greg Dryce. No, Gumeroi Wall, Ualeoi Wall. I'm Greg Dryce. I'm from Gumeroi, or otherwise known as Kamilaroi Country, in northwest New South Wales, And just to the west of that is my grandma's country, which is the Ualiai people.
Yeah, beautiful. Lovely footprint, and big shout-out to your mob. Thank you very much. So we're talking Indigenous Literacy Day 2024. That's happening on Wednesday, 4 September, 10:30 a.m. Yeah. Opera House, brother.
Yeah, love it, eh? Deadly.
Too deadly. Represent. So give us a bit of background of this fantastic event and the work that you do, brother.
I'm an author and an illustrator and a storyteller. You can sometimes see me on TV on Play School and NITV and stuff like that. But, so I've been doing this for most of my life. But, over 10 years ago, I think we started the charity called the Indigenous Literacy Foundation, where we realised that lots of communities don't have bookstores, don't have town libraries, don't have school libraries. So we do some charity work, raise money and buy books and brand new ones. We like taking brand new books out west to kids to, you know, give them the gift of reading.
Yes.
We've been doing that for, over 10 years now.
And brother, too, Deadly, congratulations. And a big shout out to the Indigenous Literacy Foundation. They do a fantastic job. It's about educating our kids. And we're talking about First Nation stories as well and First Nation authors. And that's a beautiful fit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. When we started the foundation, it was just about gifting books to communities. But when we got to those communities, we talked to a lot of the elders and we were hearing the exact same thing that, you know, lots of kids would love to read in their own languages. So we started making stories in language and taking authors like myself out there. Mm. We tour around with the deadly likes of Jessica Malvoy and stuff and go to communities and get a big buzz going about the power of reading and writing, whether it be song lyrics or writing a poem or writing a story and empowering people to, you know, do things in their own languages as well. So that's the beautiful thing that, you know, came as a secondary thing, just apart from giving books, but we also hopefully given a gift that communities have got forever to, you know, have kids be able to grow up and hear stories from their own country and in their own languages.
Well, exactly. And Greg, when you look at it, we belongs to storytellers, you know, we are storytellers.
Yeah.
And whether we do it by in the book, you know, writing a book, by song or by dance, by art, we use all the vehicles that are available. And this fantastic day is happening on Wednesday, 4 September, 10:30 a.m. at the Sydney Opera House. And also got the likes of our beautiful sister, Jessica Malvoy, performing.
Yeah, she's always fun.
That's got to be
deadly. Just like she's on TV.
Down to earth.
And fun and always lifts the room.
Exactly. So it's going to be a great event. Now, is that just a one day? Yes, it is. Literacy, Indigenous Literacy Day.
We spend the whole year sort of doing what we're doing. Right now, I'm on a break out at Kingaroy in southwest Queensland.
Okay.
Lots of Indigenous kids here. It's funny when you're talking about us being natural storytellers and performers, but I was reminding a couple of the kids that German word, shame.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a part of our culture.
Get that word out of your vocabulary. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. That was forced onto our culture for way too long. I don't like hearing that word.
Yeah.
We are performers, we're dancers, we're singers, we're songwriters, you know, we're storytellers. Be proud of it. So that's basically what we'll do at the Sydney Opera House. It's just our big chance to you know, embrace culture and performing. And obviously we've got Jessica performing and myself and Josh Pike and Justine Clark and joining me for a bit of funny stuff. We're doing a bit of comedy stuff. It's Andy Griffiths.
So
kids know Andy and his funny sense of humour. But we just tell stories, and we've got a whole mob of crew coming in from Junjunjara in Western Australia, Spinifex country there.
Good,
so they'll
good,
be
good.
Coming across a three-day trip to get to Sydney from Junjun.
Yeah, beautiful.
So we'll be launching their story when they get there,
Now, fantastic. So, brother, this is happening on Wednesday, 4 September, 10:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Now, purchase tickets. We can go online and purchase tickets. Is that right?
Yeah. So most people, I think, the people going to the events all sold out. But if you go online to ild.org.au and follow the little guides there, but yeah, we stream it. That's the joys of the pandemic a few years ago. We learned to step up our act, and we're keeping that part now. So we'll be streaming it live to communities right across the country. So yeah, anyone that wants to join in and check out, you know, everyone putting on their performance and those deadly kids from Junjunjara getting up on the stage with us to launch their latest book from out in their country. It'd be a great event. So, yeah, jump on ILF.org.au and follow the prompts and you can jump in and join us live.
That's Greg. Greg, that is too deadly, my brother. Thank you very much for sharing. Look, good luck, brother. Keep doing what you're doing. Big shout-out to the mob there, and we will talk soon, Cuss.
Thank you. Thanks heaps, brother, and thanks to all the listeners out there. Stay deadly. Stay proud.
Too deadly. Thanks, bro. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly Yarn there. Greg Dryas, his name is. He's an Indigenous Literacy Foundation ambassador. He's an artist, teacher, performer, and author. And, he's got books there as well at this fantastic function. So do check it out. Date Claimer, Your Mob, Wednesday, 4 September, 10:30 a.m. That's next Wednesday at the Sydney Opera House. And look, go to their webpage, and that's the Indigenous Literacy Foundation. Google them, or you can go to the Sydney Opera House .com/form/ILD. So do check it out for Indigenous Literacy Day. Do check it out and purchase ticket and go and see the entertainment. See Jessica Mailboy do her thing. And look, just catching up with Mob. Look, another platform where we can all get together, share our culture, and catch up with Mob. Fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say Yarn Up Strong here. Daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn Up with yours truly. Host for your daily program, National Talk Black, is the baldy one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and take it right through 12 noon. So that's Queensland time. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Too deadly.
Summertime, your voice is calling, calling out your name. The night is dark and not a light inside. Incessant wailing, wailing, 'cause we're back again. We will return, we'll carry on. We will protect, we will preserve, we will survive, we will be strong. We'll keep the laws that are counted, forgotten tribe, forgotten in another time. Lost in a world that's so reckless. Forgotten tribe in the darkness of your eyes. Lost in a world that's so helpless. Walking on the ground of the burning tribe. It makes us proud, so proud we're gonna make it right. We're not extinct, we're all well and still alive. Reunited to come back to you again. We'll keep the laws and culture and we'll stay alive. We will return, we'll carry on. We will protect, we will preserve, we will survive, we will be strong. We'll keep the laws and our culture. Forgotten tribe, forgotten in another time. Lost in a world that's so reckless. Forgotten tribe in the darkness of your eyes. Lost in a world that's so helpless. We won't forget,
but there's no fear, we will make it loud and clear. We'll come back home, we'll stay as long as what we want. We will return, we'll carry on. We will protect, we will preserve. We will survive, we will be strong. We'll keep the love that our culture forgotten tribe, forgotten in another time. Lost in a world that's so reckless. Forgotten tribe in the darkness of your eyes. Lost in a world. A world that's so helpless. Forgotten tribe, forgotten in another time. Lost in a world, a world.
Yeah, Forgotten Tribe. That's Coloured Stone here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, you mob. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn up to yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. All right, now Shellhaven, First Nations Film Festival. We're talking first ever First Nations Film Festival on the New South Wales South Coast and celebrates the diversity and creativity of First Nation filmmakers across Australia and the courage and resilience of the storytellers, some of who come from South Coast and building on the legacy of early First Nation filmmakers. And the program includes recent works of Indigenous, young Indigenous filmmakers, including Be Proud, Voice for Country, a short film made by students from Vicentia High School and then the Indigenous Literary Foundation, who we were just talking about. So we're going to catch up a yarn with Uncle Jerry Moore, OAM, and also Gillian McKay, a Yuin elder, festival developer and organiser. We've got them both online. Very good morning. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Trevor. How are you?
Yeah, well, good. Uncle Jerry there, yes?
Yep.
And Gillian, eh?
Yeah.
Gillian, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm delighted to have the opportunity to talk to you and to your audience. Right,
yeah,
around
good, good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, start with you, Gillian. Who are your mob? Where are you from?
Oh, look, I'm non-Indigenous.
Well, welcome, my sister.
Gillian and I are walking together on the office. Good. So he's your man.
Yeah, welcome, my sister. Beautiful. And Uncle Jerry? Yes. Who are your mob? Where are you from, Uncle?
I'm from the Yuin country down here on the south coast. And yes. My mob, Wadi Wadi in Jiringa and Wandi Wandandian. And, so
beautiful.
I've been a long-standing part of the community down here for... Forever,
of course, forever. Thank you very much. Look, congratulations, Shellhaven First Nation Film Festival. And just to confirm, this is the first ever First Nation Film Festival on the New South Wales South Coast, yes?
Yeah, as far as we're aware.
Good.
And, you know, it's something that we're really proud of being able to put together. And it's come off the back of the referendum.
Yes.
Both Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people, or we call them our imperfect allies, as, you know, wanted to learn more about our mob and how they can help us.
Fantastic.
And walk with us.
And walk with us, exactly. Now, we're talking Shellhaven First Nations Film Festival, 2022 September. They're the date claimers. People need to put those dates aside and attend.
That's correct, Trevor.
And we're talking about a program including 4 feature films, 7 documentaries, 13 short films across 6 sessions. Fantastic. And we are storytellers, are we not, Uncle Jerry?
We sure are. And, you know, there's a couple of really good storytelling films in amongst all of the ones that we're showing. And a lot of them revolve around our local mob down here.
Yes.
And... you know, it's just awesome.
Good.
Because, you know, Trevor, we're really good storytellers way, way back.
We are, yes.
And it's a really good way of communicating with our non-Aboriginal brothers and sisters and bringing them along with us.
Exactly. Well, it's a celebration, but it's also a vehicle to educate. And as you say, having our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters join us and look at a beautiful vehicle, a beautiful platform.
Yep, sure is. And, you know, what better way to do it than storytelling and highlighting and encouraging young filmmakers, especially, to own their craft.
Exactly. So, Gillian, we've adopted you. You're part of the clan now, aren't you?
I'd be absolutely honoured to be part of the clan. Yeah, we call her Auntie.
Yeah, good. And what's Auntie Gillian? What's the hat that you wear?
You go.
I am one of the organisers of the festival and help to put the program together.
Yeah,
and
good.
As Uncle Jerry said, we were looking to put together a program that was celebrated the creativity and diversity of First Nations filmmakers,
yes.
But also could show how film was used to promote Aboriginal voices in the past. And this has been particularly relevant in the last 12 months, as Uncle Jerry said, following the referendum.
Yeah. Look, it's a powerful tool, and are we talking young and old, male and females, as filmmakers at the table?
Yep, for sure. One movie in particular highlights two mobs from down here, Trevor, the Gerringer mob and the Wreck Bay mob,
yep.
And the coming together and telling the stories of our spiritual ancestors and why it was important not to build a nuclear power plant in our area,
yes.
And to stop the Navy from bombing. They had a bombing range that they used for target practice, and it was destroying our land.
Yeah. So that shows how strong we are in regard to our voices and protecting country, you could say, Uncle.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm. And a lot of strong people. And we're still learning from the older ones too, as you know, Trip.
Yeah, we are.
Auntie Delia Lowe, who is one of the leading knowledge holders and respected community members down here, she headlines a program called We Come From The Land. It's a really powerful story that helps people understand that whole thing that you and I and many, many, many of our listeners know about the connection to country.
Exactly, exactly. And look, we're holding the reins in regarding our stories and we share to, like I said, to educate and entertain but also inform people. So very, very important. Gillian, if people wanted to buy tickets, how do they go about it and what are the costs? Would you be able to tell us that?
Yes, they can buy tickets by going on to the festival website, and you just need to Google Shoalhaven First Nations Film Festival.
Yep.
That takes you to the website, and the tickets are available online from that session. I'm actually, Trevor, delighted to be able to tell you that the two of the sessions on our Sunday morning, the one that focuses on Aboriginal activism, first captured on film way back in 1933, and then going on to films told by local members of the First Nations communities. As Uncle Jerry just pointed out, the oldest of those is, in fact, the film We Come From The Land. And those two sessions are now nearly booked up.
We've
just, say, 3 weeks to go before the festival. And it shows the level of interest amongst both the Indigenous and the non-Indigenous populations down here in understanding more about the Aboriginal culture, connection to land, and their contribution to
Beautiful.
The area in which we live.
Beautiful. Look, it becomes a powerful tool in regarding bringing people together, you know, black and white, and look, sharing culture. We're talking 60,000 years, so it's beautiful to see.
Yeah, it sure is, Trevor, and you know, we've involved the local community.
Good.
Like, we'll have our mob who own a cafe down here. They'll be doing the catering.
Yes.
And, you know, our young lads who will probably be doing the smoking ceremony. And so we've got a lot of involvement and input from our local area.
Yes.
Which is really important, as you know, because if things aren't driven by our mob, then they're frowned upon. So
exactly. And people get a chance to walk a mile in our moccasins, so to speak. You know, walk a mile in our shoe, and get educated. Want to wish you guys all the best. And look, it's the first one ever, First Nation Film Festival on the New South Wales South Coast. So inaugural, and hopefully making an annual event, I reckon, Uncle.
Yeah, for sure. That's what we're aiming for.
Yeah.
And it's a good way to not just educate, as you said, Trev, but highlight particular issues that might be going on on the day, sort of thing. So
exactly.
It's going to be really important to continue this trend.
Yes, and keep the yarns going strong. Uncle, thank you so very much. Listen, all the best to you. And Gillian, thank you so very much. And people can go to the webpage or Shoalhaven First Nation Film Festival, and they can look at the order of what's happening for those 3 days, but also purchase tickets. And, Google it. Another day opportunity to get educated and enjoy and entertain. But thank you both very much, and all the best to you guys. And we'll yarn soon, eh?
Thank you, brother, and Wallawani to all your listeners and Deadly. You, okay?
Yep, thank you. Gillian, all the best, sis. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
To Deadly, beautiful yarn there. Uncle Jerry Moore, OAM, and off-sided there, Gillian McKay, and he's an elder and developer and organiser, and look, talking about the Shoalhaven First Nation Film Festival happening 20th to the 22nd of September. Huskisson Pictures. That's 19 Sydney Street, Huskisson. And look, fantastic. Go to the webpage or check out Shoalhaven First Nation Film Festival and look at tickets and look at the actual event and what's happening. So do check it out, your mob. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, with Trinity Trev, Murray from the Cove. But stay tuned. We've got Queensland Road Safety coming up very soon. Yarn with the boys and girls in blue from Edmonton Police. So stay tuned for that. For Which Way Yarning? Too Deadly.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416. Forgive me, please, won't you hold me tight? No more lonely nights. Lord, whisper your name in my ear.
Yeah, that Deadly track is Whisper. I whispered that to you. Trendy Trev here, Murray from the Curry, and that's Dwayne Eversmith. And big shout out, Dwayne. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yana Strong? Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. And as I said, Yana with the ball, you on Trevor Tim. Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, a 1 hour program live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, next segment, we've got Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi, Brinsmead and Edmonton. And they give us a box of food here at Bumbadrip Media, healthy living, healthy lifestyle, message we deliver. And chew on a mango or an apple rather than a Mars bar or a picnic. There it is. And we got the boys in blue come to join me. We've got Police Liaison Officer Steve Grant, and he's got bodyguard here, Craig Johnson, who's OIC, Officer in Charge, Senior Sergeant, Highway Patrol. And a very good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Morning, Trevor.
Yeah, morning, Trevor. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming along. Thank you for coming along, Craig Johnson. As I mentioned earlier, off air, Craig Johnson, there's a famous soccer player, Craig Johnson. Is that you with now the hair gone, or explain?
No, please, Trevor, no relation.
No relation.
I wish.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. He was on a bit of a quid anyway. Don't think he'd be working with the police force after playing professional soccer, mate. But all the best to you. Thank you for coming. Senior Sergeant Glenn DeLay's not with us.
He's currently on. He's quite busy this week.
Okay.
So I've invited the OIC of the traffic branch to come in today.
Good, have a yarn there.
Yes.
And over to you, my brother, while I got you. Who your mob were you from, Steve?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. Steve Grant, a proud Jitterbell boy from the tropical rainforest of the Cardinal Mission Beach Tully region.
Yes, fantastic. A big shout out to your mob. All the mob there got duck feet. Very correct. Wet down there, brother. All right, over to you, Craig Johnson, Officer in Charge, Senior Sergeant, Highway Patrol. So tell us the hat you wear, the job that you entail, and then we'll talk about Queensland Road Safety Week, which is happening 26th to the 30th of August. But that's 365 days a year, isn't it, when we talk about road safety?
It is, yeah. It never ends. We're constantly trying to work towards reducing road trauma in far north Queensland.
Yes.
Yep. So I'm the officer in charge of the High Patrol here in Cairns. We pretty much cover from Babinda through to the Cape.
Through to the Cape. Footprint.
Yeah, we've got a satellite office at Cooktown.
Okay.
And they're regularly up the Cape in areas that you would be very surprised to see them.
Is that right? Yep. So we are talking road safety. So if you just mentioned remote and what have you, like the speed limit is about 100 on the highway.
Yes, generally, you know? Yes.
So that would be across the Cape, it's all dirt road. Did it change there? Or
They're slowly sealing it, aren't they? But yeah. On the dirt road, I believe it is 100 on most areas.
Sure.
But I would ask drivers who are driving up there to drive to the conditions. If the road's not in a fit state to drive at that speed, don't.
Exactly. So very important. And Queen's Road Safety Week provides an opportunity to raise the critical public health issues. So we're here to prevent accidents and prevent death, virtually. And people talk about sometimes the fines and what have you. It's all revenue, what have you. But if you're not picked up for speeding, then you ain't got no revenue to pay.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're more about trying to change driver behaviour.
Yes.
Sometimes it results in enforcement actions. Other times it doesn't. But generally, we want to change driver behaviour. Drivers who are behaving in a manner which is unsafe to them and other motorists, well, they'll receive enforcement action.
Sure. Exactly. How long have you been in that role, Craig?
I've been there 3 years.
3 years?
Yes. So three and a half.
Mm-hmm. And have you always been in Cairns?
No, I have always been in Cairns, but I haven't been in traffic. So my actual background is more uniform and plain clothes. So,
okay.
Yeah, so it's been a steep learning curve for me.
Yes.
But yeah, hopefully I'm over most of it, but I'm always learning.
And you're based at the Cairns Police Station?
Well, we're a satellite office. We're just in Moree, actually, so not at the main station.
Right, yeah. Fantastic. And are you a Cairns boy?
I'm not. I'm originally from Victoria. Don't hold that against me.
They say south the border, Mexican.
Yeah,
American, I'm
like way south. But moved up here in 98. So yeah. I don't know how long you have to be a local.
After two cyclones, you're local?
Well, but we had that in the first 6 months of moving up here.
There you go.
I've been local for a long time then.
Fantastic. Let's talk about simple things we can do to keep safe on regional roads, my friend.
Yeah, for sure. we try to promote the Fatal Five, and our fatalities are for nearly 100% are a result of the Fatal Five. So you've got your speed. The faster you drive, the greater you are having a risk of a crash.
Yes.
And especially a big one for up here in the far north and other regional and remote communities is fatigue, because we've got a long distance between our centres that we've got to drive. So we ask our drivers to be mindful of fatigue, and if they are a bit tired, pull over, have a bit of a spell, or if there's another driver, get them to drive part of the way. So share the load, because at the end of the day, we want you to get to your location safe and well.
Yes.
And another big one is seatbelts. This seatbelt rule has been around for over a generation, but we still find drivers are not wearing a seatbelt. Another big one is if you've got kids.
That would be a forgetful thing?
I'm not sure.
I mean, we all know seatbelts. You know?
Yeah, but again, if you've got kids, make sure they're buckled up too. And I mean, if you're driving and you might be distracted because you're playing up, they could undo their seatbelts. But so be mindful that they remain, in their seatbelt, because if you do have a collision, seatbelts are going to save your life.
Sure. Yep. Exactly.
And boss, what's the penalty for all that, by the way?
No seatbelt, because you're asking me the hard questions. I don't have that right off the top of my head.
Get it together.
you know how I said I've been here 3 years and I know most of it? Yeah, most of it, not quite that. It's an expensive. Look, I'll be honest with you, the tickets are really, they're quite heavy now.
Sure.
It's, it'd be a couple of $100s easy, I would say, for not wearing a seatbelt. Because
is that for passengers under 18? Is
under
that
18.
The driver's responsibility?
Absolutely.
Can the driver get fined for that?
Yes, they will.
They can.
So
okay.
If you got your driver and you've got three underage passengers, the driver wears a lot.
Mm.
So it's really incumbent upon the driver to make sure that all their passengers have got their seatbelts on.
Yeah, if not for the safety reason, then for the fine reason. So we're doing it for the safety reason, aren't we?
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. Another one, the Fatal Five, is driver distraction, and the best one I could talk about that is mobile phones.
Thank you.
Like I said, we all live and drive in Cairns, and I bet there's not one person who's pulled up at traffic lights and not looked across and looked at the driver, stopped with their head down on their phone.
So, on their phones,
and that ticket is expensive. If you want to drop a lazy $1,000, use your mobile phone while driving.
$1,000.
Yep.
And how many points are we talking?
Well, three, I think.
Three points?
Yeah.
Now, just explain that at the traffic lights, you can't even use your phone at traffic lights?
You can't touch the phone. Even if you have your phone on your lap, that's an offence. So you can't
even on your
touch
lap.
Your phone, no. So don't use your phone at all. If you are tempted, and a lot of people are, put your phone in a place that you're not going to be tempted to pick it up.
Yeah, gotcha.
You know, if it needs to be in your boot, it needs to be in your glove box, it needs to be that's not easy to get, do that. Know the limitations. And again, people love their social media, and sometimes they just can't get enough.
Sure.
But at least give it a break once you're driving.
Once you're driving.
So you're full attention on driving.
Well, if you look at today's technology, you can Bluetooth it. Anyway, so it's all attached to your car, so it could be in the glove box. But your phone still comes through. Press the phone button.
It's not
still talk while driving.
It's also not the traffic branch can detect. It's also the mobile speed cameras that can also detect.
The transport made roads have those trailers, you see, and they are specifically there for seatbelts and mobile phone usage.
Okay. There it is.
Yeah.
So very important.
Yep. And probably the last one, and probably one of the most frustrating ones for us up here is drink and drug driving.
Yeah.
People are still doing it. And it's an issue again. It is a factor in a lot of our fatalities up here.
Yeah.
The biggest, for me coming from a non-traffic background, my biggest surprise was the amount of drivers that my officers pick up for drug driving.
Drug driving.
Are affected by drugs. So we can test for cannabis, methamphetamines, MDMA, which is ecstasy, and cocaine. So we can test for all of those drugs. And if you're using them and you're driving, you'll get caught. Another thing to remember is nowadays that you've got medicinal cannabis. Quite legal to use.
But you've got to get paperwork with you?
Yes, you do. But just you've got to remember, if you've had medicinal cannabis and you drive and you've got that in your system, you still commit that offence.
Does
that
you
are not exempt from committing that offence of driving with a relevant drug. You've got permission to have the drug, so there's no no offence you're committing for possessing the drugs.
Sure.
But you do commit the offence of driving with a relevant drug in your system.
So that's
a big one that a lot of our drivers aren't aware of, and they're quite surprised when they find out that.
Yes.
So, but it's no different to other medication either that, that people may be on, that where we can't test for it with the lick stick, but we can test for it for blood tests.
Yep.
So that's sort of always been there.
Sure.
So you know, medications that people are quite legally allowed to have and use are not necessarily good for you to drive with that in your system. So be mindful of that and ask your doctor that as well.
Yep. So when you, for the Deadly Mob out there, just tuned in, National Talk Black, and we've got Witchway Yarning and Yarning to the Edmonton Police. We've got Craig Johnson in here, officer in charge, senior sergeant, highway patrol. Under that umbrella of yours, you must have a big heap of officers under you, my friend.
Oh, well, I don't want to let that out, but we've got we've got a few.
Yeah, sure.
And we've got we've got our vehicle fleet is number. We've got a number of motorcycles.
Okay. Yes.
And we've also got the capacity to you know, not just the road bikes that you probably commonly see, but we've also got capacity to use trail bikes as well. We've got a number of speed cameras attached. We've got a Land Cruiser, and we've got like highway patrol intercept vehicles and just your normal more vehicles. But yeah, we've got got about 19 staff in total just for Cairns, and there's also staff down at Isfahan, Mareeba, and Cooktown.
Sergeant, we're talking about Queensland Road Safety Week, and we're talking about all the equipment that you got, and you're talking about cameras, you're talking about motorbikes, you're talking about police vehicles, what have you. It's here to serve and protect, keep the people safe.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And well, I mean, for those people who are screaming at us for revenue or for getting fined and what have you, we'll talk to the people who lost loved ones in accidents, fatalities, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, and thoughts and prayers are going out to those people.
Yeah, and that's a big factor too. So, at the moment we've lost 18 lives on Far Northern Roads. Now that is
For this year.
And that's a tragedy there itself.
In itself.
But
exactly.
If you look at it as opposed to last year, same time, we're at 11. So we've got 7 more people, not that they're any different to the other 11.
No,
we're 18 families
sure.
who have lost loved ones.
Well, that's 18 too many.
Absolutely. And what probably the fatals are the big ones that gets highlighted, but what's important to remember too, so for every life lost, there's actually 26 people who receive serious injuries from road trauma. So you do the sums, and there's a lot. So what our job is to reduce that number.
Sure, yeah. So if you're doing the no good things, if you are driving with your phone, if you are full of alcohol, or you've been taking drugs, what have you, we'll take the fine, but you shouldn't be doing it. We'll take the fine rather than being a fatality.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, or putting someone else in a position of being a fatality.
Yeah, and what I want drivers to also remember, and we drive around, is now a lot of drivers have dash cams.
Sure.
So you might be unaware, there might not be police around, but there might be other motorists who have their dash cams operating.
Yeah.
See you do, you're committing offences, traffic offences.
Yeah,
they send that footage into us.
There you go.
And we take enforcement action. So
exactly.
Don't ever think, we try to be
everywhere,
anywhere, anytime. But we've got a lot of the public are also invested in road safety.
Yep.
And they see things on the road that appalls them. So they let us know, and we take enforcement action, because I just want to. Every decision you make on the road counts.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
And what's the state numbers?
Currently Queensland are sitting at 191 fatalities this year.
And we're 191.
So looking to eclipse last year's easy, and probably the few years before that. So
exactly. And hence the big fines, hence the points, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you are doing wrong, then it's because you are doing wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And we're here to keep people safe. So the fatal five, very important: speed, fatigue, seatbelts, distraction, drink and drug driving. You know, so very important. Well, thank you very much for sharing. And how's it working regarding
your job as the officer in charge, is it Monday to Friday for you?
Or yeah, no, I've hit the jackpot. I no longer do shift work, so okay. I'm pretty happy with that.
Good.
I think 30 years of shift work is enough for anyone.
Sure.
So
you'd have seniors under you to look after people on weekends or do the night shifts, for example.
Absolutely, Trevor, and much like yourself, I don't have any hair, and I reckon that's a big thing due to shift work.
Yeah, hair's overrated. Anyway.
Or children too, mate. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, nice to meet you, Craig Johnson, officer in charge, senior sergeant, Highway Patrol. Keep doing what you're doing. It's about keeping people safe, your mob. So do tune in. Tune into the Fatal Five and do what you need to do. Of course, we've got Christmas coming as well.
Yep.
And that's the funny season, you know.
Yes.
Steve?
And also the school holidays are coming up shortly in September.
Yeah.
That's another one to look upon.
Okay, kids out on the road, on the bikes, whatever, scooters, so be alert.
Families out on the road.
More traffic, yep.
Correct.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's not too far away.
All right. Steve, good to see you as always. Ciao. Nice to meet you, Craig. We'll talk soon, boys, and a big shout out to the boys and girls in blue at Edmonton Police Station.
Thanks, Trevor.
Too dirty. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Beautiful yarn there with the boys in blue. That's what it's all about. Which way yarning and talking about Queensland Road Safety Week happening now. And in actual fact, it's 52 weeks in the year. It's every week we should be doing this and looking after it. Stay safe and look, slow down, drive to conditions. And do what you need to do and regarding safety and what have you. And, of course, the seat belts and all that. And any passengers in your car, you're the driver, then you're responsible. So there it is. Get it together, your mob. Trendy Trevor, going to sign off, your mob. Thank you very much for your company. Look, stay tuned. We've got the news coming up via NERS, National News Radio Service. But stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And we'll be yarning very, very soon. Too deadly.
thinking of all.